morning I've got exciting word to share with you. The Lord has been dealing with me in an amazing way. I thought I'm going to share the same I shared last year on joy from Dion and Anna, yeah. But somehow the Lord has steered the boat in that sense to for me to share something else. And just where this word started, it started with just last week at our church's intercession. For those who would remember, God spoke to us as a church just to become a people that love truth again. So this morning I want to speak to us as a church and challenge us on a few basic issues, guys, for God to shift us from being nowhere to becoming a people that love truth. Amen? Let's just delve into this. And when I prepared, I must tell you, I was very challenged. I was very humbled because it reminded me of a story and a moment I had with Pastor Sias at Stellenbosch Church. We were on an outreach in Malawi, and it was probably the best outreach I've ever had. We had like the whole morning devotions with him and pray and worship, and then in the afternoons we would go out into all the places and pray and preach, and God did amazing things, obviously with the local church there. And at this certain day, I can't remember, he just said, "Guys, you know, I'm this great spiritual guy, but I just don't know the word so much. I just don't know God so much. You know." And I thought to myself, what is this guy? Is he crazy? You know, he's this mighty man of God. You know, like Angus Buchan and changing the world, flung all over the place. I thought to myself, he must be joking, man. You know, we read the word and we know Jesus. You know, and we follow him, we worship him. Look at all the other people, how off they are. And as they were preparing this message, I just come to realize, guys, that yes, I've missed the plot. You know, many times we say we love the truth, but in actual fact, we don't. By our lives and the stuff we say and how we treat each other. So this morning, I just want to throw out a big challenge there to us as a church that, as Sia said, as a mature Christian, that he doesn't know God at all. You know, he feels he's so small and God is so big. I thought to myself, no, man, we know God. I come to realize 15 years later, listen, yeah, Sia was right and I was wrong. So just to jump off from that start, I'm humbled and I want to share with you a couple of thoughts. So I want to start off by asking you, what is truth? What is truth? I like people to talk so you can say amen, hallelujah, go home. Speak to me, please. What is truth? Some ideas, but not the slim people like any of these guys or the other ones of us. What is truth? Light, Jesus is light. Jesus Christ, okay. One more thing, ooh. Not rubbish. Guys, in the world as we know it, and we live in a funny society, truth can be anything. Amen? Some of us believe it's other gods like Allah and Buddha. Some people believe it's the theory of evolution. Isn't it true? Some of us believe it's a philosophy. If we just follow this kind of lifestyle, we will become God or we will become greater or better enlightened. Isn't it true? Some of us believe it's a secret knowledge we need to attain to, and then we will have the truth. All of that said and done, the Bible is the most serious part of what truth is. Read with me in the Gospel of John. It says there, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." And verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And then this amazing scripture. Just turn with me to John 14. Jesus said to his disciples, "Listen here, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." What a radical statement. Amen? In a society where there's no truth, guys, we're living in a postmodern society, a culture where there is no more absolute truth. Isn't that true? It's on the media, it's in our mouths, we speak like that. But here comes Jesus, and in his culture, he says, "Listen here, even though all this is going on, I am the truth. I am the truth." And for us to say that today will be a radical thing to do. And this morning I'm preaching to people that want to become radical in Christ. Amen? Amen? Because it's going to take a radical stand for us to say in our society that Christ is the truth. Amen? You see, truth in our culture has become relative. It can be whatever it can be. You know, it's according to how you and I feel. You know, and it's become like everybody has their own opinion or their own interpretation of what is truth. And that has become our new truth in society. So what's right for Dupis is not, it's right for her, but it's not right for me. But I can, you know, if I change it and it's right for me and it feels right, then that's the truth for me. But here comes Jesus and he says to us, "Listen, your church, I am the truth. There's no relatives around me. I'm an absolute. I am. I'm God. Amen? But with this, I want to say to us, as we know, we are living in the last days. Amen? And the Bible is very clear that in the last days, even the elect of us can be deceived. In the last days, there's a spirit of lawlessness coming upon us, which is going to enforce on us. Listen here, you must become relative to your neighbor. And I know for us, like at school here, with Mrs. Still here, it's very hard to take an absolute stand for truth. Because people, you are going to get persecuted. But are we willing? How much do we love the truth? How much do we love the truth? Jesus had to make that stand, and he sweated blood in the garden. And say, Father, I'm going to do this. But by your grace only. Amen? And guys, we are living in the last days, and if we are not going to love and stand for the truth, truth will be defined for us. And we need to then jump and go with the spirit of this world, and it will end in disaster. Amen? And I want to just start in saying, I believe that this is something radical. I believe that the only person or church that will survive in the last days is a people that love and have a passion for who Jesus Christ is. Because he is the truth. Why do I say that? Scripture tells me that. Look at me with the book of 2 Thessalonians 2, 9-12. It says there, the coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked perception for those who are perishing. But they refuse to love the truth, and so be saved. Therefore, God sent them a strong delusion. Not the devil. God sent them a strong delusion, so that they may believe what is the false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. A scary scripture, eh? Paul is talking about lots of things in the end times, in the context of listening to Jesus, he's still coming back for the people and the church of Thessalonica. But because I'm saying that the only people in church that will survive the last days, that will not be swept away by the spirit of this age, is the people that love the truth. Why do I say that? Look at verse 10 and 12. Look at there. It says that they will perish because they believe the lie. Look at that. God is saying that. They will perish because they refuse to love the truth. And God will send them the lie, and that they will actually believe the lie. Second of all, they will be condemned who have not believed the truth but delighted in wickedness. Serious things. So do we love the truth? I know it's hard words, but the point I want to make is, guys, there's a massive, massive, massive battle going on for your affection and relationship for Jesus Christ. There's a massive battle going on at this moment as I'm speaking here. The demons and stuff want to come and just confuse you and say, but what Yaakov is saying here, it can't be the truth. Jesus is not the only truth. There's lots of other ones. But stand and fight the battle. Stand and fight the battle. That Christ is the truth. Amen? You see, the devil wants to redefine truth, like I said earlier. And you know something, what I've learned? If the devil can redefine something, he can change it. If he succeeds in redefining something, he can destroy anything. For instance, we say love is so nice, but he takes love and he just redefines and he makes it lust. He takes marriage, we say believe it's covenant, one man, one wife. He makes it what? Homosexuality. He makes it living together before marriage. He makes it a casual thing. He takes babies that are unborn, which is aborted. We call it as being killing people, but he just says, makes it, it's a fetus. It's not a real person. If you can redefine something, guys, you can change it. And the devil is after us to redefine the truth. He wants to redefine Christ in our relationship with him. What he'd say isn't actually what he meant. I've heard it so many times. Follow me, leave everything and follow me. No, but he didn't mean everything. No, Jesus meant everything. Amen? You see, guys, the truth isn't the truth because the truth that doesn't belong to the devil to define. That is the truth. The truth belongs to Jesus Christ and his church, and we need to stand for it because we love it. Amen? That is the truth. So let's take it back. And say, God, we're going to define it because we belong to the one who is truth. Amen? So, what does it mean practically for us? I'm a practical guy. Practically to love the truth. What do you think? What does it mean to love the truth? What does it mean if I say, in the beginning was the Word and the Word was God? What does it mean then to love the Word, to love Christ? I'm going to just start off Read with me in Psalm 119. It says there, and John 17. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. Jesus saying in John 17, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is the truth. Guys, in other words, to love the truth means we must love the word of God. Because the word is the truth. Amen? Can I get an amen? We love the truth because that means we love the word. The word is the truth. David said it. John, Jesus said it. There's lots of other scriptures that is speaking into that direction. But look at John in Revelation. He takes it one step further. He was radical. Look at this. Revelation 19. It says, then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, the one sitting on it called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame on fire. And on his head are many diadems. Second by diamonds. And he has a name written on that no one knows but himself. He is clothed in a robe dripped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. Amen. In other words, to love God is to love the Word. Is to love Jesus because he is the Word. Amen. His name is the Word of God. Now you see, church, to love the Word doesn't mean we must know more of the Word. Okay, stay with me here. To love the Word doesn't mean we must necessarily know more of the Word, because we can have all the knowledge about the Word and still not love the Word. Must I say that again? To love the Word doesn't mean we have all the knowledge about the Word, because you can have all the knowledge and still not love the Word. You can gain all the knowledge in the world, but not love it. Just have it. So knowing the Word of God, loving the Word of God, means we fellowship with Christ. Amen? For example, look at the Pharisees. Ooh, interesting one. Look at the Pharisees. They were the wisest guys in their society. Amen? They had all the knowledge of the Word. Isn't that true? They set the Torah up every day. They did the prayers every day. They know the Word. But never loved Jesus. They hated Him. Isn't that true? They killed Him. They had meetings how to court Him and how to kill Him and how to get Him on the cross. In contrast with Mary Magdalene. Look at Mary's life. Mary had very little knowledge of the Word. Amen? But she loved the Word. So it's not on much, guys, how much we love the Word, how much we know about the Word. But do we love the Word? Do we love the Word? Now, what was the difference between Mary Magdalene and the Pharisees for you and for me today? What do you think? What was the difference? If you can remember this one thing for this whole day, then this is it. The difference is Luke 8, verse 1 and 2. Read with me there. The next day, Jesus traveled through some cities and small towns. Jesus told the people a message from God, the good news about God's kingdom. The 12 apostles were with him. There were also some women with him. Jesus had healed these women of sicknesses and evil spirits. One of them was Mary, whose name was called Magdalene. She, 7 demons had come out of her. Guys, the difference between Mary and the Pharisees is Mary had an encounter with Christ. Mary knew the power of God in her life. Mary had an encounter with the living Word. Amen? You see, she experienced Christ firsthand. He touched her and changed, and her whole life changed forever. And resulted, she became a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen? Look at Mark 15. And Jesus uttered a loud cry. This is not context of Jesus is on the cross, the last few moments. Uttered a loud cry and breathed out his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were, again, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome. When he was in the Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him. Guys, Mary was a follower of Christ. She knew the power of God. She knew. She had an encounter with the living Word. So much so, it changed her life. It took herself to the cross. She was there. She looked from a distance and said, that man I love. If you follow the story, she was actually the first one at the tomb. Amen? She's the first one to saw the risen Christ. She went back and said, disciples, come, the Christ is alive. No, you're crazy, Mary. No, I've seen Him. She loved Him because she encountered Him. Have you encountered Christ already in your life? Maybe for some of us, it was years ago and we couldn't even remember. It's like, hierdie spinnekop het oor dit gegroei en dis net vaag. God wants to refresh us this morning. Amen? Was to give you a new fresh oil, a new fresh anointing upon your life. Amen? Because Mary became a follower because she spent time with the Word, where the Pharisees did not. The second difference. Obviously, look at it. Obviously, when Mary met Jesus, it was in the 3 years. She obviously, like Mark says, they followed him. In other words, they spent time with him. She also listened to his teachings and wondered what he was saying, talking about it to Salome and Mary, the mother of James. There was fellowship going on there. Amen? You see, she spent time with the Word, where the Pharisees did not. Loving the truth isn't a pursuit after more knowledge, it's rather a pursuit after a person. Loving the truth is not a pursuit after more knowledge, guys. And we're sitting in a Western culture where everything is about knowing more, and if you know more, you're getting higher up in life, and you're better, and this is all attaining to a bigger revelation of something. Loving the Word is just pursuit after a person. Because He is the Word. He is the truth. Amen? Simple stuff this morning. You see, church, the more time we spend in the Word, the more we'll start loving His Word. And that will transform us, and that will set us free. The more time you are in the Word, the more that will change you. The more you will start to love the Word. Amen? And the Word of God says in John 8, if you know the truth will set you free. Not a man or a pastor or a prayer. The truth will set us free. When we encounter the Christ, when we encounter the Word, the living Word, that will transform us like Mary experienced. And demons left, and she had this new transformed life. Every one of us need that. Amen? Every one of us desire that touch from God. Amen? I'm running into your arms. Why? I'm running into your arms. We sang it this morning. Why? Jesus, we need you. Touch us, please. We are desperate for your living waters. We are thirsty for you. Amen? Mary spent time with the Word. Mary followed Christ. So guys, the first thing to write down this morning is, the first key to loving the Word means you must spend time with it. You must become intimate with the Word. And as you become intimate with the Word, you will start loving the Word. Amen? You see, I've written down here, it's like marriage. It's like your wife. You can't stand at the altar, Philip knows this, and tell your wife, honey, I love you so much, but I'm just looking forward for the honeymoon. And 30 years later, she asks you, do you love me? And you tell her, honey, I told you 30 years ago, I love you. Does that work? Carmen, does that work? Or the ladies say, amen. Guys, it's exactly the same. A marriage takes effort. It takes time. It takes sacrifice. You need to tell her every day, women have got short-term memory loss. Sometimes it's stupid, but I believe my wife every day. You must tell them how nice they are, how beautiful they are. And in the same way, guys, with our Word, our relationship with God. Spend time with the Word. It's going to take a sacrifice on your part many times. We're not going to feel like it. You're going to feel like it's going to feel so dead. But I want to encourage you. Press in. Press in. You see, guys, the problem with us today is many of us don't spend time in the Word anymore. We know more about what's going on in the latest movies on the cinemas. We know more what's going on our Facebook pages. And we follow more Twitter than what we know what's going on in the Word. Amen? I'm there. And I might say, Yaku, what am I doing? Am I spending time with Christ? Am I loving the Word of God again? And I must then reshuffle my old system. And if I must ask us this morning, and if you're honest, how many of us, and don't show me anything, spend on a regular basis a quality time with God in His Word? I tell you what, if I can guess here, not many hands will go up. Once a week maybe, as the wind blows, I will do it. And we become like the Pharisees. We drift. You see? We drift. And we start to point the finger, but you know, this Jesus, and is that coming through for me? And I'm hearing His voice, and I'm like this and that. Amen? And we're missing Him. Mary followed Him. Mary was close. Mary was at the cross, at the tomb. She smelled Him. She saw Him. Guys, spend time. Intimacy picks up. You smell. You taste. You feel. Amen? I'm just honest with you guys. Many times, I don't feel like spending time in the Word. As a pastor, we are also human. You feel like, stuff this whole Word thing, man. I just want to go and play golf or whatever. From my friend, girlfriend. But it's wrong. I'm honest, it's wrong. But now the question is, what do we do when we don't feel like spending time with God's Word? That is a practical issue. Amen? Many of us are like, gosh, we all have tough days at work, busy, start early, end at night. The wife is in your ear. The kids are moaning and groaning. Amen? What do we do now if we don't feel like spending time with God? Is it a train smash? Does God make provision for that? Or does He tell us, listen here, if you don't feel like it, you must repent and just carry on? No, God makes us to have a relationship with Him, okay? So if you're struggling with spending time with God and your emotions is all over the place, look at me, with me to John 4. And let's learn from the Samaritan woman. Because she had exactly the same issue as many of us have. I struggle with it a lot. John 4, Jesus says, so He came to a town of Samaria called Sychar. Jacob's well was there, so Jesus, weary as He was from His journey, He obviously walked around and ministered everywhere, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to him, give me a drink, for His disciples had gone away into the city and buy food. Verse 9, Samaritan woman said to Him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God, who is it that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living waters. Guys, the first thing I want to let you notice is here. Verse 9, just look at that. I've underlined it. Look at the total surprise of this woman when Jesus spoke to her. It's like, what? Are you asking me a question? It's like a province guy to run into the Blue Bull camp in Loftus. It's like, what are you doing here, guy? This is Pretoria. Amen? Or we're running into a New Zealand rugby changing room. You know, like, you know, we wear the green jersey, not the black. She was totally confused. She was like, whoa, what's going on here? And we don't understand the background. It's the Jews and the Samaritans didn't get along lekker. The Jews saw them as a half-breed and they were sleeping in and around the different Gentiles and Jews. So they thought, like, they're not so pure as us Jews. So Jesus is saying in the few verses before verses 5, He said, listen, yeah, you had to go through Sychar, Samaria, because you had a mission to meet somebody there, this lady. So she was thrown because the cultural thing is like, whoa, what are you doing? Okay, look at that, first of all. The second thing is, she wasn't at all interested in Jesus. Amen? She was just there to do a business. She had no desire to spend time with Him. She was there to draw water, to get along, and to go away. And as we read the story, she had more than one husband. Maybe she had other business to do later on. She had no desire to spend time with Him. She had even no interest in Him. She was like, what, how is it that you ask me a question? But Jesus engaged her. You see, and we all know the story and what happened. And after she spent a few moments with Christ, the Word, her whole life changed. Do we know the story? What happened to her? As she spent more time with Him, Jesus asking her, what is this water about? And you have now, the husband you have is not your husband. And now we worship on the temple, not the temple. And Jesus is, you know, she's spending time with the Word. She's getting into God's presence. And what happens after a moment? The whole life changes. She had an encounter with Christ. Amen? Guys, from not having no desire to speak to Him, to love Him, is a radical change. Amen? Look at the fruit. What happened after that? Christ not only touched her life and changed her life, her whole community got saved. Her whole community got to know Jesus. Spending time with the Word. You see, guys, many of us feel like the woman. We don't have any desire at the moment to spend time with God or His Word or even His people or the church. We just want to stay away. Do our own thing. But you see, the principle is as we spend time in God's Word, we will be transformed and we'll start falling in love with His Word again. This is what this lady discovered. She had no desire. It was foreign to her that this guy engages her. But as it kept going, it just became better and better and better. And chup-chups, her whole life, she encountered the living Word. And the result was even bigger than her own life. Amen? What an amazing story. So guys, the principle is for us is just don't let your emotions and feelings lead you. You must draw near to God. Even when you feel nothing. Amen? The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by our feelings. Amen? So by faith we must draw near to God and spend time in His Word and His presence. Amen? The more time we spend with the Word, we will start loving it. And I want to encourage us this morning, guys, God, Jesus is God Emmanuel. He's God with us. He longs for you to come into His presence. He longs for you to draw near and open the Scriptures and just read it and say, God, speak to me, please. I'm desperate for you. He misses you in His presence. You see, the Spirit of God says He yearns with jealousy for you. Hy is jaloers oor jou. As jy rondloop en die ander dinge doen in jou tyd en ander goed is afstaan, God's Spirit is yearning with jealousy. He wants to draw you back to Him. So I beg you, church, please, please, spend time with God. Spend time with Christ. Make the time. Put in the effort. Amen? And if you struggle with that, let's pray for you afterwards. Maybe there's just a block you have. I don't know. But God will show us if you respond. Amen? And let's trust you that your life will change as this woman from Samaria's life also encountered. Listen here, but there's more to me than drawing water. There's living water to drink as well. Amen? So let's jump into that river. Amen. So the first key is to loving the truth is we must love the Word by spending time with it. Okay, the second one, I've only got 3 points. The second one is to love the Word means we must obey and submit to it. Woo! Here comes a tough one. We must love it. Loving the Word means we must obey and submit to it. Read with me John 14, verse 15. The words of Jesus says, if you really love me, in the Amplified, you will keep, obey my commands. If you really love me, you will obey my commands. Guys, in other words, for us practically, God measures our love for Him by the way we obey His Word. Simple. God measures the way how you love Him by your obedience to the Word. Doesn't happen to say, look, God, I love you in song, I love you, praise you, love you, and you live in sin. And do what you want to do, and you don't want to follow the Word. That is total craziness. Jesus brings us back in Paul and says, whoa, 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 whoa. If you love me, you will obey my Word. You will stick to whatever I say to you. Amen? That's how, guys, something stuck with me this week is, that's how Jesus lived. In John, I think John 6 says that He did nothing He didn't see His Father do. What does that imply? He listened. He prayed. He asked God and God showed him. He was obedient to His Father's Word. Amen? And God is not asking us something new which he never did. Jesus says, just do what I tell you. Then you love me. Amen? So church, we need to conform to the Word. Don't let the Word conform to us. You must conform to the Word. Please, I beg you, let's not make the same mistake as the Israelites did in the wilderness by creating a golden calf. I beg you. Where they changed the image of God. Where they changed who God was into something more suitable for them. We do that. Many times, I believe we sing songs here, but we're actually worshipping the Jesus of our own image. They say, God, what does your Word say? Who are you in Scripture, God? I want to follow this Christ. It's going to cost you my life. He asked me everything. But do we love the Word? Do we love the truth enough to die for it eventually? Amen? So guys, don't make the... Yeah, I said that. John Bevere said an amazing quote. He says, too many of us today like to interpret and twist the Word rather than to obey it. I've said it in different words. Many of us like to rather twist it and interpret it. We sound so clever. We want to pursue the knowledge of the Pharisees, but we don't want to obey it. Simple fact, like Mary, which had no knowledge of the Word. Obey it, guys. You see, the Bible is a worker's manual. If it says take 4 steps left, we must do that. If it takes go back 5 steps, we do 5 steps. Amen? Let's follow the slogan of Nike. Just do it. Just do it, guys. Like Rory McIlroy, he just does it. He just Nike. He just do it. You see, guys, let the Word of God be the Word of God in your life. Let's believe it and trust in it. Even if we don't understand it, let's submit to it. And the one thing I thought here is, let's learn from the story of Peter in Luke 5. Who knows the story? Peter's fishermen, they have been in their trade for 30, 40 years. Many of us are older people who have been in your trade for many years. No fish the whole night, the whole week, the whole month. Business is cracking. There's nothing going on. Here comes Jesus and says, listen, you guys, let's go out, let's go and fish. Jesus, are you crazy, man? We've been there the whole night, we're tired. He says, no, just throw the nets out of the boat on the right hand side. And Peter, and Jesus flips his whole theology around. And he catches a fish so much the boat even sinks. Peter said, Lord, according to your word, let it be done to me. I throw out all my knowledge, all my wisdom, God. I just want to obey your word. And when he did, the fruit was there. God will not fail you when you obey his word. God will not fail you when you obey his word. Amen? It's a worker's manual. If it says, guys, I want to challenge us. If it says, live with peace with one another, then you must go and make peace with your brother. It's not going to disappear like magic. You come to the person and they say, I'm offended, I'm angry, I feel hurt, but I want peace with you. The Bible commands me. Simple practice. It says, forgive one another as Christ forgave us. Then we need to do that. Pray, ask, and engage the person. We're a body. We affect each other. Amen? The elbow affects my hand where my hand is going. My neck affects where my head is going. We're affecting each other. We are connected. Amen? That's why you can't live in isolation. You can't not be part of a local body of Christ. Stop hopping around. Get connected. Get connected. If God says, be born again, or be baptized, like He told Nicodemus, a Pharisee, which came to inquire. Nicodemus actually had the guts to draw near, to spend time with the Word. Amen? John 3. And he realized, Jesus is saying, listen here, be born again. Oh, what is that? And Jesus explained to him. Let's just obey the Word. He said, guys, stop talking about it, and just start obeying it. It's simple. You see, as we obey the Word of God, we show God that we really love Him. So ask God next time in your quiet time, God, do I really love you? Yes, on an emotional level, I adore you. I worship you. I love you, God. But biblically, Lord, where do I measure up? And let God be honest with you rather than you deceiving yourself. Amen? And let God challenge you and change you and ask you. So the second key is we need to obey the Word of God as we think we love the Word of God. Then the third one and the last one is loving the Word of God means we need to treat the Word with intellectual humility. Or in plain word, humility. In other words, to love the Word means you need to approach the Word with humility. This is a biggie, guys. I want to just throw this in here. What does this mean? What do you think does this mean for us? This is a big one. And I want to just point us back to Scripture. Look at this. Look at the church again in Thessalonica. They had something going for them which is amazing. It says there, and we also thank God consciously for this, that when you receive the Word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the Word of men, but as what God is really is, the Word of God, which is at work in you believers, or which is at work in you who believe, I think the New King James says. You didn't receive the Word of God, which you heard from us, as accepted as only the Word of men, but you saw it as the Word of God. You see, guys, they approached the Word with respect, fear, and reverence. In other words, with humility. Their attitude was simple. They said, listen, it doesn't matter through what vessel it comes, I still recognize it as the Word of God. The Word of God. Amen? For us, it means practically in the morning, you open your Scripture and you say, God, here I am. Here's your Word, Lord. I know nothing of your Word. I want to start afresh. You are the truth. You are the life. You are the Word. God, I've read this passage many times, but here I go. Speak to me, please. You engage it. But you see, guys, the flip side of the coin is, and it's a sad one, is that has become the norm with most Christians today. We handle the Word with arrogance, assumption, and casually. We've become familiar with the Word of God. We assume so many things. Yeah, God said this, so yeah, it's okay. We're familiar with the Scriptures. And God is calling us by saying, no. If you love me, treat my Word with humbleness. Because I am the Word. Amen? The way you treat this book is the way you treat Christ. Treat it right. Read it, approach it with humility. You see, the attitude that we embrace is the attitude of, I know it all. That part I've read 100 times, so I can skip it. Isn't that true? We've got our favorite portions of Scriptures, the Psalms, the lucky ones, the Proverbs, all of us have got our favorites. And when we come to those parts, we just page over. Or the big one is when the pastor preaches about a specific sermon, you tell yourself, I've heard that. So I can leave or I can just switch off. That is, guys, that is attitude of assumption. Action of pride. And God is saying to us this morning, guys, that is change, please. Leave that behind. You see, people, the Bible says knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. 1 Corinthians 8. You see, it's not how much scripture you know that matters to God. It's the way you handle and respect the Word of God that matters to Him. Not how much you know about it. It's about, do you really love His Word? And if you love it, you will handle it with respect, with humility, with reverence. Amen? So let's start there. See, guys, God is saying you resist the proud, but He gives grace. Hello? Talk to me. To the humble. Is it a wakker? Are you guys awake? Are you still with me? Time for a grappie. No, I can't do grappies. God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And guys, it brings us back again to the story of the Pharisees and Mary. God resisted the Pharisees for their pride. But He gave grace to Mary for her humbleness. She followed Christ. She wanted to spend more time with Him. The Pharisees, on the other hand, they knew it all. They said, I knew it all. That part of Scripture, Jesus, you can't quote it. We know it better than you. Aren't we the same? Aren't we the same? I'm like that. Yes, I'm challenged by this. The bottom line is, church, God can speak to you 100 different ways from a single piece of Scripture if you are open and humble to receive it. Amen? So don't read and skip. Read to read. The Word is alive and powerful. It will speak to you if your attitude is right. Amen? So let's engage the Word of God like that. You see, that's the reason at our church we have Bible school. We want to equip you with the Word, not to gain more knowledge, but for you to become more Christ-like. To live the Word, to be obedient to the Word, like I said. So you can teach other people in humility. Listen, yeah, this is the Word, and this is how it works. So please, it's like I'm marketing it now. Enroll for Bible school. If you've done it, do it again. Come and just have a refresher. We can't go without the Word of God. Amen? We will be deceived for those who don't love the truth. Those loving the truth are those who spend time with the truth. Those who obey the truth and those who treat the Word of God with respect and humility. Amen? Can the band come up, please? The band, thank you. Then I want to end off with something which is important with this. Read with me in John 16. Just to finish this off. It says, Jesus is saying at the Last Supper with His disciples, last moments before He gets crucified, He says some interesting words. He says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear me now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, Jesus, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. When the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. Guys, I want to tell us this morning that we can have all the things going for us, but we will never be able to come fully lovers of the truth without the help of the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. He will guide you in truth. Without Him, it will just be empty pages. It will be like one of my high school books. Textbooks. It's just there. But you see, the Holy Spirit is the one that opens our eyes and makes the Scriptures come alive. Isn't that true? I remember in my life, the end of the story is, I was born again for 2 years, my first and second year in varsity. Yes, man, I was hungry for the Word. I just read with it. But you know, it was like, you know, it was like trying to saw with a saw on a Easter fall. Like, didn't work. And I was asking questions, and eventually after 2 years, I fell away from God. I backslided. First of all, university is too lekker. It's too many beer and too many women on campus. And the Word is like blunt. It's like date. So obviously, I'm going to fall away. Till one day, God used various circumstances in my life to bring me back. Obviously, I had to repent and get to know God again. And then God had to introduce me to the Holy Spirit. And I had to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I had to just say, Holy Spirit, here I am. Not my life anymore. It's not yours. And guys, I remember we had a lunch with my parents afterwards in our house in Paradise Grove. And it felt to me literally like somebody took like scales off my eyes. Immediately I heard just things. I saw just things differently. And when I took the Scriptures, it was like, it jumps out to me. It's like, you can see where I mark. It's like, God, that I must remember. And then automatically, I just remember it. This comes out when I pray. How does that work? And guys, what I had there, I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And after that, nothing is the same anymore. Yes, there's days when I don't feel like it, but the Holy Spirit comes and He empowers me. He lifts me up and says, Yaku, I want you with Christ, man. I miss you, man. Jesus loves you.
And He brings you. He will guide you. He will bring you back to Jesus. He will glorify Christ in your life. Amen. He will bring you to spend time with the Lord. He will make you hungry for the Word. Amen. So I want to ask you this morning, how is your relationship with the Holy Spirit? Where do you stand with Him? Have you never met Him before? Then this morning God has made this all this possible for you. I also sat in a church where we had church. It wasn't a show. I sat right at the back. The pastor like me spoke, and he stopped and said, God is showing me somebody there that must meet the Holy Spirit. And I told my sister, He's speaking to me. I don't know it. I just know it. I just knew it. Came forward, and the rest, guys, is history. So this morning the roles have changed. Now I am saying to you, who don't know the Holy Spirit are there. I just want to pray with you that the same will happen to you. It's not spooky, it's not fairy. He will open. He will take the bread of life. He will take Christ and He will just break it for you. And you will smell it. You will start eating of the Word. It will come fresh you. It will fill you as He leads you, guides you into truth. Amen. So let's pray. On that note, I just want to pray. As we pray, you can just stand. Just close your eyes. Holy Spirit, we just thank you. Thank you for the Word of God, Father. Thank you, Lord, for loving us so much. Lord, your Word is alive and powerful, God. Your Word is alive and powerful, God. Jesus, because you are alive. And Lord, this morning the Word is sharp. The Word is going into our hearts, Lord. And we're realizing, Lord, that we need to grow so much. But we say yes to you, Jesus. And this morning we just humble ourselves and say, Lord, come and have your way. Come and have your way in us, Lord. Come and fill us this morning with your Spirit again. Cause the living waters, Lord, just to start bubbling up, Lord God. Thank you this morning, Lord. We are in the spiritual spa this morning, God. The bubbles is coming, Lord. Life is coming, God. Lord, I speak this morning to every heart that has been closed by the evil one, God. Every fountain that has been blocked by the devil, God, to keep them from fullness in you. I say be open in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you that you're unveiling them, God. You're causing them to see right now, God, the current situation. We worship you for the breakthrough, for the testimonies, God. Thank you, Lord, that your people are here, God. People like the woman of Samaria is here, God. People are going to meet you for this morning, God. Father, thank you, Lord, that old Pharisees is going to throw off the rugged clothes and they're going to become, Lord, like Mary, running to your feet and spending time with you, Father. Because we love your Word. Church, this morning, as every eye is closed, I want to just bring an altar call to you and ask, if there's people that have never encountered Christ like Mary did, if you have stood afar and you've become like the Pharisees, you have grown in your knowledge, you maybe come from a reformed background like I did, and you know all these scriptures, be thankful for God for that. But you've never encountered the living Word. It has become alive to you. Then I want to pray with you this morning. That's the first people. The second one, if you fall into the trap like me of not spending time with God, you become too busy, and you've read it before, and you skip scriptures, and you just assume things. Then I want to also pray with you. If you fall into the trap of just not walking away from the Lord when He draws you to spend time with God. And the last but not the least is people that have never received the Holy Spirit. Or you're a Christian and you have received, but it's grown dull in your life. You barely pray in the Spirit. You barely speak to the Holy Spirit. You barely invite Him into your quiet time. He says no. Then I want to pray with you as well this morning. So I want us now to just worship a song. And in that song, as we worship Christ, I want you to come forward. You stand here and just to speak to God. And then we will come and pray for you and just meet your need as God is here. Amen.